Blog Talk Radio.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Good evening, and welcome to this special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and yes, it's Thursday, and I'm on the air. But I'm on the air for a special reason and with a special guest, Andrea Wiley. She is an acclaimed television writer, producer. She's worked on various shows on Maine TV, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, The Parkers, Jamie Foxx Show, Steve Harvey Show. I could go on. But now she's focusing her attentions on a documentary called Soulmate. And Soulmate explores the fact that 42% of Black American women have never been married. And she talks in the film with lots of women, some married couples, pastors, people in the world of ministry, about this challenge that Black women are facing and things that they can do to, I guess, alleviate the stress of, you know, am I going to get married? When is it going to happen to me? So welcome this evening, Andrea. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much, Joy. It's my honor.
So what made you decide to make a film about Black female relationships? And I know the film also deals a lot with the issue of celibacy. What made you decide to do that?
You know what? All I have to say is that the Lord literally led me, because this isn't my story. I am married and I have children. But I remember clearly, you know, when I was leaving the writing industry at the time, I just sensed the Lord saying, how are you going to use your gifts and your talents for my glory? Shortly thereafter, I was having breakfast with a girlfriend, 42 at the time, a beautiful woman, a stockbroker, highly educated, well-traveled woman, and she said to me, I'm so tired of this dating scene. I really want to be married. I really want to have children. But I'm not meeting anyone that I'm interested in. But if I'm not married in a year, I'm going to freeze my eggs and just pick a man and have a baby with him. And she was dead serious.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next day in the hair salon, another friend of mine who was in the film, she's an art dealer. She was just coming back from Prague, procuring art for her company, another beautiful, well-traveled, highly educated, you know, seemingly quite eligible bachelorette. She
mm-hmm.
came to me unsolicited and said, I'm going to tell you something I've never told anybody. She said, I'm tired of people looking at me like something is wrong with me because I tell them I'm single at 42.
Mm.
And, you know, it was in that instant, Joy, that I could sense God saying, you tell this story. It wasn't my story, but it was a story that desperately needed to be told.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it was definitely.
Yeah. You know what? Because when I thought about it, I have so many available, wonderful single friends, I mean, who haven't even had dates in years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what is going on? So I asked my friend in the hair salon, I said, would you be willing to talk about what you're going through on film? She said, if it can help somebody, absolutely. And so we were shooting in a week.
Wow. I mean, I have a friend also who that's a big issue, becoming a mother by choice and you know, freezing or getting a sperm donor. And that's a big issue. I mean, women want to have children. You know, it could be biological. It could be societal pressures. But there are a lot of women who want to have children, and they're getting past the age of 35, which we understand physically based on, you know, medical knowledge. You know, that's like a high-risk pregnancy after the age of 35. So they're like, well, what am I going to do? I don't have a husband, but I want to have children. But then at the same time, we find that society's still saying that it takes a mom and a dad to raise a child. And in terms of Christianity, it's very important. I know that that's to have a marriage is a blessing, you know.
Absolutely.
So now, why do you think that is? I mean, there's the issue of education, and I know on the on the Office of Minority Health, they have some statistics that said that more Black women than Black men had earned at least a bachelor's degree Whereas their white counterparts, there's a higher proportion of white men and white women having bachelor's degrees. So do you think education is one of the reasons that black women aren't finding? Do you think that...
Well, yeah, there is a statistic that says that the more education and the more income a black woman earns, the less likely she is to be married and have children.
Mm-hmm.
That is a statistic. And I want to go back to something you were saying earlier. You know, the reason why we want to have children is because that's how we were designed, quite frankly. That's how,
mm-hmm.
I mean, not all, I have friends and some, very few, but, you know, who say they don't want to have children. But for the most part, we were created, you know, God said, you know, man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
Mm.
And he tells us, be fruitful and multiply. That's in our DNA, you know.
Right.
That's how we were designed, to be nurturers, to procreate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, where's the human race going if we're not having children?
This is true.
So
well,
there's
also,
nothing wrong with that. There's nothing
right.
wrong. That's our core design.
Right. I guess the issue comes of, like, the women in your film. And I remember one woman in your film, she decided to cross the racial line. And
mm-hmm.
that's a big decision that many women, African-American women, have to make, because they're having this higher level education, they're getting
mm-hmm.
higher-paying jobs,
yes.
they're in places where they don't see black males in the same level.
Right.
And I know there's some women who feel, well, I'm not going to settle, and that's how they
oh.
feel about it, that they're settling.
Exactly.
But I have to bring up the point that there are some very good men, and I think one of the pastors in your film mentioned this,
yes.
That there are some very good men in the world who aren't making six figures.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And you should give them a chance.
Right.
If they're, you know, if they're respectful, you know. And I mean, what is your feeling about that?
Oh, absolutely agree with you. I mean, and the word even says, man looks at one's outward appearance. You know, well, you know, how do you look? You know, where do you live? What do you drive? These are the
mm-hmm.
things. You know, what kind of degrees do you have? These are the things that, you know, people in society tend to measure the worth of a man.
Right.
However, God looks at the heart, and so should we, because there are plenty of men, stockbrokers, what have you, making tons of money, but where's their heart? What's their character like? Will they love you? Do they love the Lord? These are the kinds of things that will sustain a marriage through the inevitable trials and
right.
tribulations that it will go through, not how big your bank account is, you know. And so I absolutely agree with, just because you are a highly accomplished professional woman does not mean that you are or should preclude men who don't make as much money as you, or who
mm-hmm.
don't have the educational achievement as you, as a spouse.
Right.
Because,
right.
you know, you want someone who is going to love you no matter what. You know, what
yes.
happens? Look at how many people have lost their jobs during this economic downturn.
Yes,
you
well,
know?
Even in your film, there was a young woman who, a woman, she was older, but she got married, and within a year or so, I believe, her husband
yes.
came down with cancer. It was cancer?
That's right. He could.
And he was not able to walk, and she was taking care of all his every need.
And that's
and,
what love, that's what it takes.
Exactly.
In a spouse, that unconditional, I am here for you. And you know what, to be honest with you, I think, and this is where the word of God comes in, that is a covenant between you and God, not just you and that person. Because
mm-hmm.
there'll be some times that you don't really like your spouse too much, but what's going to keep you in there?
Mm-hmm.
If you've made a commitment to them and to God, you are more likely to stay in that relationship. Because we also talk about in the film all these living together, you know,
yeah, like half, was that like being half pregnant or something? Like,
yeah,
you know, you're playing house,
yes.
house, and then both parties potentially, I believe personally, can get hurt in that situation, not just the woman, but the man too. Men have feelings, and that's something
right.
that's brought up in your film also. One of the pastors had a group session with the women, and he was saying the same things that the women were saying, like, well, I can't find a mate. Well, where am I going to find, you know, the respect and religion? He's saying he's met with groups of men, and they're telling him the same thing. Well, where can I find a good woman, and is she going to be respectful? Is she going to listen to me? I did a show on relationships with two psychologists with PhDs,
right.
and one of the biggest issues they brought up, constantly kept repeating, was the issue of communication.
Yes.
And I think that people are not communicating what their needs are up front. And specifically, I know in relation to your film, some of the women seemed sometimes they were a little tentative, like explaining to the man maybe that the issue that they may be were celibate or are celibate at the time,
right.
Or explaining that the issue of wanting the man to go to church and be be in Christianity and believe
right.
in God, that's important.
Right.
And there was one woman in your film, I think she did speak that. Yeah, she spoke out what her needs, and I think that's important. You need to speak it. And then I think you can draw it into your life. What
so
is your feeling
that,
about that?
It's so funny that you should say that, Joy, because when I met my husband, I went to church every Sunday. And when I met him, he said, all right, I like you and all, but I'm not a go-to-church-every-Sunday kind of guy. And I said, okay, all right, that's fine.
Right.
But I went, and he came with me. And him coming with me, the word just captured his heart. And I remember one time I was tired or what have you. I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go today. He's like, oh, no, we're going to church. And I go, we are going to church. And then the other thing is, when I got convicted in the Word of God to become celibate, and I expressed that to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is before we were married.
Okay.
And, he was like, wow, okay. And then he said, you know what? I love you enough to honor and to be celibate with you.
Mm.
Women need to know that they have got to stand up for their convictions and not compromise in order to try to keep a man.
Exactly, and that's what I say. Like, sometimes if you just speak it, it comes to
right.
you. Like, for example, you don't know what your future husband at that time was going to say to you,
right.
but you were courageous in speaking what your needs are. And again, that goes back to communication in a relationship. I want to bring up the issue that you're...
Can I just say one thing before you go on? What it speaks to was that I love God more than I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him, but I love God more, and I wanted to honor him more through my body, which the Word calls us to do. And that was more important to me. And it was clear to him I was not going to compromise. And for him to be in a relationship with me, that was a that was a requirement. And
right.
he was willing to go the road.
Yes, and the funny thing in your film, there was a woman who, I think she was on the road to celibacy for almost 7 years, I think she said, and she decided one day, okay, I think I found the right guy, he looks right, he sounds right, I guess, education, everything was fine, and she was interested in, engaging in sexual relations with him, and in the middle of their act, so to speak, he backed away from her and told her that God spoke to him and said that, he wasn't supposed to bother her.
That's right. He said, God said, do not touch her. And she said that he had never heard from God before in his life, but he heard it clearly that day.
That moment.
Isn't that something? God
but
will
then,
protect.
And he protected her, and then she ended up finding a wonderful husband who also was in your film. How did you meet them?
Yes.
Did you know them before your film?
Yes,
or
yes
okay.
I did. They're members. They were members of my former church, and they also started a marriage ministry. And we were in marriage preparation class together 13 years ago.
Wow.
So, and we're all still married. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, honey,
it takes good folk walking alongside you because marriage is very difficult. You have a lot of these single women saying, oh, I want to be married, but they really have no clue what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I always say, you have to become the person you want to attract.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say, that preparing yourself to for love to come into your life, I think using, praying and using God and your religion to help prepare yourself for that, because we have issues, all of us, men and women have issues, maybe with lateness, maybe it's economic issues, maybe it's anger issues, and if you haven't dealt with those, a beautiful human being can walk right by you and stand in front of you and say hi, and you're going to ignore them.
Absolutely.
Because you're attracting the negative. because you still are dealing with that negativity in your life. If you don't cleanse yourself and open yourself to the idea of love and also believe it, like you said, women say they want to get married and they want to, you know, have the wedding and they do all these things, but they don't really truly believe it. And I think that's where religion comes in. And in this case, we're talking about Christianity this evening, can help you focus and help you get rid of that baggage you're carrying around. There's a singer, she has a song about bag lady. What's her name? Erykah Badu. And women carrying around baggage. But let me ask you, how did you come up with this idea of Clean Heart Productions? Is that through a phrase from the Bible, the issue of clean heart?
Yes, and I just want to just back up right just for a second onto what you said. It's, you know, your religion, but I want to take it a step further, and it's not so much about religion but about relationship, your relationship with God, not necessarily, you know, certain rules and regulations and that kind of thing. But it's your relationship. It is that intimate relationship that you have with God that's going to manifest itself through you and through your choices and through your actions, through the people that you choose. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the work that you do. And you're doing this film. You said, you know, it just happened. You didn't have any forethought about making a film. I mean, you didn't plan that. But it came to you, and God chose you, I believe, to make this film to help other women who are dealing with this issue. Because some women in the film were really, I mean, in terms of a mental health issue, some women, I believe, in the film were depressed about this matter.
Uh-huh.
And really, really concerned, like they were less than. But when I saw them in the film, I thought, wow, they're so beautiful.
Oh, honey.
And they have so much to offer to the world, and even if they... And there's a chance that they may not get married. There's so many other things that they can do or that God may bring into the life for them to do, I believe. You know what I mean? Like God will open up a door and say, well, this is where I need you right now. And they may help somebody else.
There was a question that Bishop Ulmer said in the film. He said, posing it to single women, how will you live your life if you do not get married? He said, because some women will not get married. It is a tough pill to swallow. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
And so are you going to live a life of regret and, oh, woe is me, God, why did you do this to me? You're mad at God, mad at the world? Well, that's living a life of diminishing returns. Because you're going to attract nothing but that kind of negativity. But if your relationship, if you have that sound, solid, firm relationship with God, because if your identity is in Him, you're fine whether you have one friend or 20 friends, whether you are single or married, whether you have children or not, He sustains you.
Because you're not alone. You're not alone. He is with you.
Because you'll never be alone. He is six closer than a brother, and He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that is the first. He's our first soulmate. That's the whole point of the title of the film. He breathed life into us, and we became living souls. Any love we get on top of this unconditional, how many people can you say love you unconditionally? Not too many people can raise one hand. People have
maybe one, two fingers. That's about it.
Exactly. God loves you absolutely unconditionally, and any kind of love that you get on top of that is icing on the cake. We need to get to that ground base level first before we go looking for soulmates.
Well, you mentioned that you went to counseling, and I think that's an important issue also, that there's a lot we can learn from others who have gone before us in marriage, and also speaking with your pastor. How did that help you? Do you feel with your marriage?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it let us know that the problems were going to come. You know, so we weren't really blindsided, because I think a lot of times people, you know, don't have a realistic view of marriage. Marriage is probably one of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life, I feel, because it's two lives, two souls that were, you know, built in their own understanding for the most part. And to me, the key to a successful marriage, and my husband and I had to learn this over the long haul, is humility. It's literally esteeming the other person as greater than yourself, really dying to your flesh, dying to your will, dying to your right to be right, and you got to voice your opinion. You got the you know how.
Literally. One of the women in your film talked about that issue. She felt that marriage represented to her almost like a cage. I think one of the women in your film, that she was wondering why she was having such difficulty,
mm-hmm.
but she found out that sometimes she was sabotaging the relationships that she was having.
Yes.
I think it was when the pastor was in the house and he was speaking to the group of women, and I think she was to the left of him in the scene, and she was because he was really trying to get at the root of what her issue was, and that was one of the issues that came up. She was sabotaging. She actually had some good relationships, and then she sabotaged them because she was afraid. But I think, I guess, if you're having a good relationship with God and I guess giving yourself up to God, then there is no need for fear, right?
That's right. She was a commitment phobic, and she mm-hmm. recognized that. Absolutely. Absolutely. But marriages, and, you know, at the end of the film, and I want to let people know, too, they can go to www.soulmatefilm.com to see the trailer and to read the testimonials and to get the film. But, you know, we talked to women who got married after the age of 40. And
yeah.
as you know, all of them said, you know, marriage is wonderful and it's great, but it is hard work. Every one of them said that. And then look
yeah.
at what happened with Paula. Her husband, you know, literally, you know, she had to become his caregiver
yeah.
early.
And then he passed away, unfortunately.
He passed away, you know.
And let me tell you, audience, he was a very, you know, big, healthy, you know, football player type of guy.
Exactly.
Wasn't aware of any problems that he had,
exactly.
you know, as far as they knew. So she was going in, her, you know, oh, great husband, the rest of my life, going to do this, going to do that. And within a year, and I think that, to me, was one of the, I guess, one of the most important parts for me, really, is that this idea of the wedding and the dress and all those, the fluff, but this woman made a choice to stay with this man and honor him in his worst time. And that's one of the things, as a marriage is a part that something could happen. Somebody could get hit by a truck.
That's
somebody
right.
could come down with a disease.
That's
right. Somebody could lose their job. Look at this economic. A lot of marriages are suffering now because of this economic stress that's going on in our economy, because people weren't used to, I guess, having a struggle in maybe that area
right.
of their marriage, and now they're having to face how to balance the economics, you know.
That's exactly right. And I think I love what Paula said and what you were alluding to earlier. You said that, you know, we put so much emphasis on that wedding day, on buying the dress and having the location and all the guests and da-da-da-da-da, and we do. Some women spend up to a year planning a wedding, Joy, and don't
yes.
spend 1 hour in premarital counseling. Now, what kind of sense does that make? And literally,
it happens all the time.
It happens all the time, and their marriages don't last.
No.
My advice to any woman out there, engaged, about to be married, plan to get married anytime in their lifetime, forget the big wedding unless you got it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Put that money into solid counseling with a pastor, some married couple, meet with them on a weekly basis, sit down, have them walk alongside you and prepare you about what you're going into.
Mm.
This gives you, the odds of you making it will increase exponentially if you are prepared and aware of what awaits you. No one knows for sure, but if you know what, baby, there are going to be challenges. I don't know if it's going to be in health or finances or what, but just
yeah.
know that I'm here for you. You know, we will, you know, if we could, two heads are better than one, you know,
mm-hmm.
two are better than one. I, you know what, I may get upset, but I'm not going anywhere. If you go in, you know, prepared, you know, sort
yes.
of with your backs against each other, with the guns pointed out toward the enemy and toward all
right,
the things that
right.
come at you instead of guns drawn and pointed to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You have a chance of making it. Forget the day. Forget people that you probably haven't seen in 20 years coming out to see you. You probably won't see them in another 20 years. Spending
yeah.
all that money, put your money into solid premarital counseling so that your marriage lasts. Not your,
yes.
not, you're not investing in the day, but the
I have to agree
lifetime.
With you. I have to agree with you 100%. I have two male friends. They both got married on the same day, and I had twisted my ankle, so I couldn't go to either of their weddings. But both of them are now divorced.
Oh, really?
Both of them, unfortunately, did not do what you just spoke about going to counseling. And what I spoke about earlier is the issue of communication. They did not communicate with their partners or the, you know, together about what their goals were for the marriage and what they, you know, in terms of children, where they're going to live, their careers, all these things that we always, you know, you hear articles, you read articles, you hear the news, oh, well, it was because of children, it was because of, well, she wanted to get this kind of job or move here. There was no communication about key core issues. And I think that counseling can help that. But, yeah, these are two, they're very good brothers. I mean, two that they don't know each other, but I will say that they're, you know, I would say, oh, yeah, they're good guys. Yeah, marry them. You know what I mean?
How long did the marriages last?
Less than 5 years.
Oh.
Both the marriages less than 5 years.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. But that's more, you know, common than not, unfortunately. When I tell people I'm married 13 years is nothing. I mean, start commenting and start commending when I said I'm married for 40 years or 30 years, you know?
Yes. Well, and why is that? Why is that, like, generational? Like, my grandparents, they married for, more than 60 years, I believe, more than 60, almost 70 years. And now I don't think marriage is honored, the idea of marriage.
Right.
I mean, in Islam and Christianity and Buddhism, I mean, religions, you know, support the idea of marriage. But for some reason, our society... I'm talking about African American people are not honoring that this is
a
blessing to be able to get married, to unify, and like you said, to have children, to have children and keep the human race going.
That's right. You know what? The media has a lot to do with it, don't you think, Joy?
I believe so.
Yeah, look at all the tabloids that are just literally thrust in front of you. You can't even buy a carton of milk at the grocery store before knowing what Lindsay and Brittany and all of these people are doing, having their 2-second marriages. I'm sorry. It is holding up a standard to our next generation, to our current generation, that marriage is expendable. These are the beautiful people. These are everyone wants to be like these Hollywood stars. And, you know what, they have 3 husbands. That's fine. And you know what, garbage in, garbage out. We are what we eat. If we consume this junk in the media, magazines, and television, all that foolishness, and I'm going to call it for what it is, and we're not consuming good stuff, that's going
to
help build our
character. Well,
thank you. Like the film and the Bible and like so. You know, here's the other thing. The Bible, I believe, is our instruction manual. It is literally the guide for life. But typically people only when something is broken do they in desperation, God help me, God, you know, running for God.
Right,
but if you were to consult with that manual all along, chances are you wouldn't have as many breakdowns along the way because you would know what is important, how you were designed. I mean, and again, I do believe that this awesome design called the human being, called the human race, called the universe presupposes an awesome designer. I don't think all of this brilliance came from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he left us with a set of instructions on how to do this thing called life, how to do this thing called marriage and raising children. Very clear set of instructions. How to do this thing called dating. Celibacy is not to spoil our fun. It's to protect us, Joy.
Yes. Andrea, I do have to cut you off. We have 1 minute left to the show.
Oh, this was so wonderful.
It's an ongoing conversation. I have to have you on again. I want to thank you so much for coming on this evening. I want to thank the listeners on the computer. If you have any questions, you can go to Andrea's website, www.soulmatefilm.com, and you can read the testimony, see a trailer of the film. And also, if you have questions for me, you can email me at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I want to thank everybody. Tune in next Saturday, May 9th. Angie Stone, singer, songwriter, award-winning artist, will be on the show talking about the diabetes epidemic in the African American community, along with the American Diabetes Association. So tune in next Saturday, May 9th at 11 a.m. Eastern. And I hope you have a wonderful week and a wonderful weekend. Again, thank you, Andrea, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Joy. It was my pleasure. We'll do it again one day.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Diary entry. Diary entry. August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time.
What's going on? June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.